We've got Dave Ball, Assistant Secretary of the MUA Victorian branch, on the line, and we're going to talk about Sfizzo, or as Kevin called them, spit on the workers. Couldn't get it better said, right? How are you, Dave?
I'm very good, Annie, and thank you for having me on. Yeah, well, they've got quite a few different names now, including Shitza. I kind of like that one.
Yeah. Exactly. Now they've moved on. So it's been, let's get our listeners a background to this. We're talking about towage. We're talking about a Danish company, multinational, made huge amounts of money, and it's been called profiteering through COVID. And it's basically become almost got a stranglehold on towage in Australian ports, doesn't it?
You would have to say it does. It operates in 17 ports around Australia. Most of those ports, there's no competition in the port. And, so that's pretty much a monopoly. And certainly the four major ports in Australia and all the container terminals, Sfizzo control all of them through their towage licensing arrangement. So, yeah, they really do have the country to ransom. And I think we saw that, we have been seeing that over the last couple of days or weeks, or even years, depending on where you've come into the story. But just to how powerful and how critical they are, and the only logical outcome I can see from what people have seen this situation to arise, and with Fair Work Australia issuing the 424 section 424 on Sfizzo yesterday, forcing them to cease all their industrial action as a matter of causing the economy grave harm and grave harm to the Australian people. And I just think it's a big push, and we should be pushing for nationalisation of such an essential service. I don't know how many industries you could identify could actually cripple a country so quickly, and that's why Fair Work Australia acted so quickly yesterday.
So does that mean that Sfizzo has to stop the lockout, or that they're going to stop the lockout?
Yeah, that's right. The lockout was meant to start at 12 o'clock yesterday, and it was a strategy by Sfizzo. They gave us 5 days' notice that they were going to lock out all their workers in those 17 ports. Under the Act, they only have to give you 5 minutes' notice. So it was a strategy. They wanted everyone to respond to the potential harm and damage that it was going to do to lock out all those workers. And Sfizzo were, I think their ultimate aim was to have Fair Work Australia terminate the protected action by both parties and force an arbitrated outcome with the agreement, which I don't think really would have gone, I'm sure it wouldn't have gone in favour of the workers. So fortunately we avoided that. Fair Work Australia only suspended the action for 6 months. At the moment we're waiting for further details around the order and what that will mean, but I imagine it will be both parties. Well, there's actually four parties because there's the AMOU, the Officers Union, AIMPI, the Engineers Union, and our union, the MUA, and, of course, Sfizzo, in a room together with a conciliator, probably someone from Fair Work Australia, and hopefully over the next 6 months we can come to a negotiated agreement the Maersk Shipping, who own Sfizzo, their core values clearly state that workers should have a right to collectively bargain and negotiate a workplace agreement.
Well, this is fascinating, isn't it? Because for 4 years, they've basically engineered a wages freeze.
Well, that's right. There's been no pay rises for 4 years, and money has never really been an issue in this discussion. At different times, the unions have put offers together that included zero pay rises, just to get an agreement, just to secure a job, just to get their job security. So they've had a pay freeze for 4 years during a period where they've made their biggest profits in the history of Danish corporations, and that was during COVID, while everyone was having all sorts of restrictions and lockouts, and here's these shipping companies just gouging profit out of the economy, and they just went ahead in leaps and bounds. So it astounds me how this has played out.
Yeah, there's a couple of other issues, though. People talk about wages, but actually we're talking about trying to turn towage into a gig economy.
That's right. There is a competitor to FITSA in Australia that does employ some of their employees. Well, they form cooperatives where the employee loses all their rights to all the benefits that unions have fought for over the years. Personal leave, holiday pay, sick pay, long service leave, and they become a part owner in the business, and therefore they're exposed to all the liabilities that could happen. And it's just as soon as the profit goes down, their conditions and wages go down. So it's very much like the gig economy.
But it's also one of the things that the officers were talking about and the engineers, that what they were saying is that Switzer wanted to be able to ring them up at the drop of a hat to get them in to come and do shifts, and it was undermining the whole process of the ebb and flow of the work, because it's very dangerous work.
It is very dangerous work, and of course it's shift work, runs 24 hours a day. These workers do 182 12-hour shifts in a year, and that equates to about 200 or 300 hours more than a worker who's doing a 35-hour week. So they're doing long hours, and to put them on call during that period and not pay them in between, would be obscene. And there's also emergency requirements where the Port of Melbourne requires two tugs to always be available for any emergency. And we see that all the time in shipping, where ships get blown off the wharf, lines break, and of course recently where we had those couple of vessels in New South Wales where engines failed and they got into serious trouble, and it was the towage industry that saved those ships and saved the environment and the people around them.
So this has been a very a confrontational situation, and in fact Paddy Crumlin, the head of the union, has talked about employer militancy. This is a very unusual approach to industrial relations, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, for a lot of people, we've probably seen the first time where the employer is being the more aggressive party in an agreement. Maybe not the first. Oh, that's probably not right. Not the first time.
No, Patrick's did this.
Yeah. But I don't really like us describing the company as militant. That's our word. We're militant. They're not militant. They're just scoundrels and mongrels. That's they certainly have been acting aggressively, holding the country to ransom. And, as I said earlier, I think it has to lead to a discussion around nationalisation of the towage industry.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for talking to us this morning.
Thanks, Annie. Thanks for having me.